Welcome to the Startup Canada podcast, where we talk to Canada's most innovative and entrepreneurial leaders and changemakers. I'm your host, Rick Spence, and as a business journalist, editor, and entrepreneur, I've learned what makes Canadian startups special, successful, and scalable. Join me every Tuesday to hear news stories of Canadian entrepreneurs and learn about the moments that mattered most on their journeys. The Startup Canada podcast is a production of Startup Canada. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Entrepreneurs from coast to coast to coast, welcome to the Startup Canada podcast. On the show today, we're excited to speak with David Swade. David Swade is the Chief Revenue Officer and member of the Board of Directors at OnDeck Canada, a leader in online small business lending. David brings more than 20 years of experience in the fintech industry, and he's a driving force behind platform solutions, distribution, and product marketing initiatives. OnDeck offers fast and flexible financing to founders so they can refuel their business. OnDeck uses technology and also the guidance and advice of real business loan advisors to evaluate the financial needs of entrepreneurs and founders. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be here.
What is the best piece of advice that you hope entrepreneurs will take away from our conversation today?
I think the biggest piece of advice is surround yourself with people who compliment you. Always know your strengths, what you bring to the table, what areas you might be weaker at, and surround yourself with those types of people. And then the second piece, which goes with that, is company culture. Really try, as you're building out your team, to build a strong company culture. Culture, to me, conquers a lot of the challenges that you're going to face as an entrepreneur. So if you can have, you know, the right people around you and the right company culture to go out and achieve your mission, it's a big step in the journey.
Yeah. How do you, let me just dig into that for a sec, because that's really interesting. It's not something we talk a lot about on this podcast. And yet I agree. It's so important. How does one actually set the tone for a company culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. Initially, I found that we didn't really have a defined culture. I had, and I think my partners had, an idea of the type of culture from previous companies we'd work for, places where people worked hard, they had integrity, professionalism. But each employee you'd meet, you had to sort of sense, will they fit? Will they fit in? Will they get along with others? Do they bring something that we don't have? And you don't really know what the culture is early on. It's not really defined. But over time, at about 10, 11, and 12 employees, we found we're starting to see the kind of culture, the type of people that we wanted on the team, the people we want to be around, and I think at a certain point it solidifies, and then every employee after that either fits the culture or frankly gets expelled by the culture because they don't fit. But it is a good point. You don't really know what it is. You have an idea, you have a vision, but it's not crystal clear until, you know, a certain amount of employees are on board.
Right, but that's a really powerful idea that if you have a choice of people to hire, to ask, you know, will they fit into this culture that we're building here? Because when they don't fit, it can be really long and arduous and annoying before the situation resolves itself.
Yeah, and I used to ask, and you know, some of the team here would make fun of me a little bit. You know, what type of company culture to the employee are you looking for? And depending on the answer, for me, it was a big one. If they said, look, I'm looking to work in a big company with lots of processes and big, you know, insurance plans and all that type of stuff, you kind of knew. I mean, you looked at everything, but generally you kind of knew, like, okay, that's not us. We're a startup, you know, we're bootstrapping. We don't have the best insurance plan, but if you want to be part of our mission and goals and doing something big, you know, then that's the place, you know, for you. So there's ways to determine that, but certainly early on it was challenging.
Right. Okay, before we go any further, let's talk about OnDeck. I was shocked when you told me just before we started that OnDeck has been around for 15 years offering financial solutions to Canadian small businesses. Tell me a little bit more about the organization and how it came to be.
Sure. So I guess back in 2008, it was during the credit crisis. Banks had begun to tighten their lending practices. And I was in the States and looking for a previous company doing some due diligence and saw the small business lending space in the U.S. really starting to take off. It was really targeted at industries that were underserved by the banks, where the banks had been tightened. It was size. Banks traditionally treated small business customers as sort of an extension of retail. They based all their credit decisions on personal credit, more than sort of the business. And it was cumbersome. You'd have to walk into your bank. You'd have a stack of documents. It was always based on your personal credit score. And it just wasn't a good customer experience. And I saw some U.S. companies that were doing that, one of which, frankly, was OnDeck U.S., and I'll get to that a bit later, and thought the idea would be great in Canada. So we started a business. Originally, it was called Mercantile Advance. Then it became a Velocity Financial Group with the mission of financing small and medium-sized businesses in certain industries, restaurants, retail, auto. Those had been underserved, where you could come online, apply, and have a fast experience and a good experience and a fast decision. And that's really how sort of the business was born and the mission behind our business.
Wow, that's exciting. And then along the way, you did a deal with OnDeck US to become part of OnDeck. And now I understand that you're free again.
Yeah, so back in 2018, we combined with OnDeck US. OnDeck had a Canadian division. It was, relatively small, they had a small team, but they didn't have a presence in Canada. They didn't have anything in Quebec where they could be bilingual. They didn't have coast to coast. They didn't have management. Everything was run out of the U.S. So we merged with OnDeck U.S. in 2018, 2019. We really learned a lot from them. We built up, systems, expertise. They had done about $12 billion of loans to small businesses, and it worked great until COVID. Then COVID hit, and obviously a lot of challenges that occurred. OnDeck itself was sold to a company called Innova, which was a large public consumer lender in the U.S. And then Innova basically said, look, we want to sell our international businesses. And as a management group, we really believed in this business and where it was going. And so we did a management buyout in May of 2021. And as part of that management buyout, the decision to bring this independent and 100% Canadian owned was made, and we'll be rebranding sometime in the spring, early summer, and we're excited. It's the same people, same everything, just new name with a new mission, updated mission and vision, and we're excited about where it's going.
Yeah, I mean that is such an incredible story of growth and success, of getting the exit, and then getting a chance to do it again—that is so rare. How did the management team at OnDeck Canada feel about becoming the owners and responsible for the business again?
I think to a degree we were excited about that, going back to that entrepreneurial journey a little bit more, again, being part of something bigger. We learned a lot of discipline. We learned a lot about scaling the business, but kind of getting back to that entrepreneurial way was kind of exciting. At the same time, OnDeck is a great brand, and it was a great experience. So you always have mixed feelings, but again, excited to maybe take this to the next level in areas that maybe were a little bit different from what the previous OnDeck leadership team envisioned. Having control and ownership and ability to steer it in the direction we wanted, and then getting back to our entrepreneurial roots, which we are. We're entrepreneurs at heart.
Right, and right now, all of our listeners are thinking, okay, how much money are they going to lend me? So tell me a little bit about, how you make your lending decisions, who your target market is, geographic restrictions, if any, across Canada.
Yeah, we're pretty much across Canada. We lend between 10,000 and, 350,000. The small business customers at the core of what we do. We serve almost every industry or most industries. Obviously, we have some specializations in restaurants, retail, auto, specialty grocers. I mean, there's a handful that make up a large chunk of our customer base. And then in terms of the way we make our decision, really we try to enable you to come in online, apply. We connect to a lot of the data sources that make our risk decisions. So things like credit scores, bank statements, where you have an ability to connect online or upload your bank statements. And then we pull that into a system we call Darwin. Darwin's an automated risk decision. And we really make a risk decision. A human will overlook it, but always the system will give a recommendation. And then we move that through the process to offers, where we'll put you into our online checkout process and you can use DocuSign to sign out and get funded. So we call it a digital end-to-end experience, where you come in the door, you apply, we make a risk decision, we put the offers in your checkout portal, DocuSign, and you can go really end-to-end if you want online, with a sort of human there to support you if you have questions, you don't understand certain elements of the offer, or there are questions that we have for you. So digital end-to-end with a human there to support you is kind of the approach we take, and technology is at the core of a lot of what we do.
Right. And do you charge fees, or is your return based entirely on interest payment?
It's entirely based on interest. So that's primarily our main fee.
And how do your interest rates compare with my local bank or credit union?
I mean, obviously we're more expensive than the banks. There's additional risk that we take. Our cost of capital is higher. I think the big differentiation for us is speed, customer experience, and frankly, flexibility. We have three products. We have a line of credit product, we have a term loan product, and we have what we call a flex product, which is sort of a variable repayment product that works well for seasonal customers. So if you're looking for something relatively quickly, if you're looking for a product that has, you know, differentiation a little bit, and we do combine those three products, you can get a line of credit and a term loan. So I think for that, we have to sort of price in the risk, and we have to price in the products. But, we feel we're competitive to, you know, a lot of times people will say the credit card rates, even though there's, you know, people do find credit card rates high. We're higher than the bank, but we think the service we provide and the risk we take, justifies it.
Right. And you you seem to draw this really interesting balance between automation and personal service. I was looking at some of the reviews for OnDeck, and people are always saying, you know, hey, this was really efficient. We liked it. And Bob or Mary or Jose were really helpful. And so I was struck by that in this impersonal world based all on data, there's still a role for an individual person to be of service and presumably help make some of these decisions.
Yeah, we agree. And I think, look, we want to build a process that's as fast and as frictionless as possible. So if you come in and you have everything and you don't have any questions and you want to go straight to the end, you don't want to speak to someone, in theory, you probably could do that. Or if you're a renewal customer and you've already taken money from us and you just want, you know, additional funds, you know your rate, you have any questions, you know, we have a streamlined process for that process. But for a lot of customers who come in, even if, you know, they came in online and it was easy, they want to talk to someone, you know, do I need this much? Could I get potentially more? I don't understand this offer. You're offering 6, 9, or 12 months. What do you think is best? You have a line of credit product. So there are a lot of questions that people have. So generally, you know, when they come in, they want some guidance. And then once they've sort of been with us for a period of time, they're happy to kind of have this, you know, good customer experience, repeat experience. But early on, I think, you know, a lot of times they have questions, and it's good to have sort of the people there to help. And we've been doing this for so long. We've seen so many different examples that I think we can give that advice and guidance. And that's valuable to a lot of small business customers who, you know, are uncertain about this, who've never taken money before, or who have a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's very cool. And can you give us any idea of the size of the operation in terms of the money loaned out or assets or whatever indicator you care to share?
Yeah, look, we're a private company, but what I could just tell you is you know, we've served more than 10,000 customers in our history. We've loaned more than $1 billion in the past 15 years. So you know, we're sizable in Canada. I would say probably among the alternative lenders in Canada, we're probably the leader, if you know, leader, or at the top of it. So you know, I think we're big enough and we have the scale to give the kind of service that our customers expect, but we still have that boutique touch, that human element, that we try to bring as well. So I think it's a great combination.
And what does the curve look like now? Are you growing? Are you seeing some interesting activity in the marketplace?
We are growing. I think we've really benefited from the SEBA. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the SEBA program, which was with the government funding. It was a interest-free loan that the government gave back during COVID. The COVID deadline to to get a discount or get a forgiveness came January 18th. So we saw tremendous demand for the product, particularly November, December, January, around sort of the repayment of the SEBA loan. And I think generally, you know, customers, you know, having come out of COVID, things have sort of stabilized, still choppy for some industries. They're starting to be a bit more confident and looking for working capital again. So I think the combination of SEBA refinancing and, you know, the economy sort of being relatively stable, and I say that cautiously because, you know, not all industries are the same, I think has brought demand to the highest level. We had our best month ever in
January. Oh, fabulous. Glad to hear that. And tell us a little bit about you and your career, David. Tell us about your early experiences in banking or lending or the fintech.
Yeah. Look, my background, I started in payment processing. So I worked early on in 2000, 2001 for a company that's now called Paysafe. It was called Optimal Payments at the time. So sort of built that first 10 years of my career working in payments for, you know, e-commerce payments primarily. And then in 2008, 2009, had the opportunity to leave Optimal and go out and start effectively what became On Deck with my partner, Harley Greenspoon and Neil Wexler. And so really have been focused on, you know, fintech lending, particularly in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, but there's such an overlap between payments, lending and banking, that I've kind of, you know, lived in that world, you know, over the last 10 or 15 years, which helps, frankly. And, that's really been my experience, primarily in sales, marketing, product, innovation. That's sort of the area that I've, you know, probably built the most expertise and most, you know, my area of interest and my strength.
Right. So the main founding team, team of three?
Yeah, the main founding team. Well, it was actually Harley and I originally in 2008. Harley was more focused on, you know, credit, finance, legal. That's his background. Neil joined in 2011 as CEO and really, you know, came in and really pushed us. We were sort of growing steadily, and Neil's really someone who believes in scale and scaling big. And so it's a nice compliment. Neil, Harley, and I balance each other really well. And then, you know, again, in 2009, Neil has some public company experience at Optimal Payments. That's where we worked together. And so I think that also helped when we became part of On Deck in 2019. They had someone, you know, the three of us had, you know, a good amount of experience, entrepreneurs, but also understood what it was to be, you know, inside of a public company. It's a whole different world with reporting there's a lot more formality in a public company. So I think it's worked well relatively over the last, you know, number of years.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about banking and how what you guys do for small businesses and entrepreneurs and how they can best deal with you. But I just want to get at the idea of you guys joining On Deck US and you know, this was your baby, you built it up, and then you have an opportunity to, you know, hopefully secure the business, get additional assets and energies behind it. Just what was that decision like when the time came to say, hey, we can join On Deck and sell our baby and become employees, and the entrepreneurial journey is behind us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a merger, right, where they took a majority stake. So for us, you know, there is a little bit of that, you know, we don't totally control our destiny. But the way we structured the transaction was we were the management team. We were running Canada. They really allowed us to sort of run our decision, make our own decisions, obviously within a framework. So I think we felt like we still had the somewhat independence to run our own ship, and they were very happy to kind of hand off Canada to people who had experts. Our cultures were very similar. We fit and got along for the most part relatively well with the team. So we you know, I think we had the best of both worlds, frankly. We still had a little bit of that entrepreneurial environment, but inside of a company that sort of forced us to raise our game. How do we scale up? It was a roadmap for us on how to grow the business, because we couldn't, you know, we're having a harder time doing it on our own. And these guys helped us with that roadmap to get there. So I think it wasn't totally like we sold our baby and here it is. It was, hey, you know, we're growing up and we want to be part of something bigger. And we had that opportunity without totally giving up control.
Yeah. And I mean, I totally get it, and I think that's really cool. You had that opportunity. Can you just share now? Sometimes, and I've known lots of businesses where they were acquired and then they were ignored or abused, and it turned into a nightmare. And you obviously had a very different situation. So tell us about some of the good aspects of teaming up with OnDeck US. What did you learn? How did the company benefit from that?
Yeah, so I think we learned a few things. I think one thing we learned was, the way in which they acquired customers. You know, things like they had a partner portal for agents. I think they had when I call it online checkout, the ability for a customer to, get their offers online, log into a portal, accept their offers, make their selection in terms of the offers they wanted, and then check out in a more automated way. We were still fairly manual. And so I think that really helped us understand, okay, this is how you can scale a business. Some of their partnerships were very integrated, kind of the early days of embedded partnerships. A lot around metrics, KPIs, reporting. They were just at another level in terms of, they were doing, they had done $12 billion. So they really had to, and they were a public company. So they really had to have good metrics, reporting, predictability. And then lastly, it was really about a lot of their formal policies like HR, just being really buttoned up and disciplined. Where as an entrepreneur, maybe you're a little bit more laid back and easygoing. They really kind of elevated us in that regard. So those would be the areas I think they really helped us.
Yeah. And thanks for going into that, because I'm intrigued, because I think a lot of business owners would love to have a chance to be adopted by an organization so they could, graft onto them and build up their management tools, their expertise, get those sort of more world-class kind of processes in place. So you got the benefit of that. And now as you go forward as an independently owned Canadian company again, presumably you still have most of those benefits and certainly all of those learnings to take with you.
We do. And look, we were lucky that we found the right fit. It doesn't, as you say, always work out. We had the right fit. I think we do, as we move forward, have a lot of that roadmap to guide us. But we're also, a smart group, got a lot of really smart, talented people here. And I think as we've also grown, we've brought in a lot of people who have helped us, rise up and be even better. So I think, there's a lot of people out there who can mentor, like the experience that we've gotten now, we can share with others as our own, entrepreneurs and as our own business people. And to me, that's really important. I certainly want to spend more time, working with other companies, sharing my experiences. And I know a lot of the people here do. So I think, again, you can do it if you find the right transaction where you can merge with a group. Or you can also, find mentors and people who are going to guide you, who've been through these experiences and war stories or scars or whatever you want to say, to help, help guide you and give you that insight.
Yeah. No, I think you totally, you have to find out, do whatever you can. And, a lot of people end up going to Harvard for a couple of weeks or something, whatever it takes to get that mentorship and get that professionalism in. Not enough to ruin the business or spoil it, but to discipline it, to get it to that next level, which everybody needs. It's hard to get it right the first time. You're always sort of rethinking it and restructuring it, and hopefully you do it from with people who are experienced and know how to do it. So that's an exciting story. What can Canadian entrepreneurs do to best prepare to access funding from OnDeck Canada?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is try to make sure you have as much of the documentation you need is in order. So, for example, if you're applying with 12 months bank statements, but you've, maybe recently switched your banks, just make sure that we have both bank statements from your new and your old bank provider. If you're a seasonal business, as an example, in the last 6 months that we will ask for don't necessarily reflect your full business, try to give us maybe 12 months. And then the third thing I would say is, try to give us as much of the story as possible. So for example, and just be upfront with us about whatever the situation. So for example, if you have a lot of NSFs, insufficient funds in your bank statements, just help us understand why, what the challenges have been. We fund merchants who have lots of NSFs. We just need to understand the situation, and it'll save a lot of back and forth for us. Same with if you have a CRA, a payment plan, you're a little behind on taxes and you want to, you have a payment plan with them. Just disclose that up front, work with us. The more open you are and the more you share with us, the more we can help try to work with you. It doesn't mean we'll work with everybody, but again, I would say just, provide us as much as you can up front and just be as open and honest. I know it's cliche sort of say we're partners in this. And so if we're going to fund you, we want to know upfront what some of the challenges you are, and we'll try to work with you.
Right. Is there some bitter experience behind some of those things you were just saying? I mean, I know that a lot of business owners don't really like to open up. They certainly don't like to shine a flashlight on on some of the dusty parts of the business or the parts they're not proud of. So when you say, work with us, open up, tell us about the problem areas so we can understand you, is that based on that being easy to do with small business owners, or is that based on your experience that, we kind of have to pry it out of them a lot of times?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's based on a little bit of experience, obviously, over the last 15 years. I understand, I'm a very private person. I don't love sharing information. And I think even early on when it was we had, online bank statements like a Flinks or a Plaid where you can actually connect your bank digitally and then send us banks, the bank statements in an electronic way. Canadians were hesitant. They were a bit nervous. What is this? I'm giving you access to the bank, even though it was a third party. So it took time. Now we're going to have open banking in the next, 2 years or so. So the world has changed, but I get that. People are, proprietary. There's a lot of, information floating out there. So they're very cautious and careful. So I think one, as we've matured as an industry, that's getting a little bit easier for people. As we're better known, that's also a bit easier. But it's also from experiences. People are proud about their business and these are challenges they've had and they don't love talking about it. But, as we say to them, it's the more you can just be upfront and honest, there's no judgment. We're just trying to make the best decision possible here. We understand you have challenges and we're going to try to work with you. And I think customers appreciate that. But definitely it's something, we do have to pry out at times. And like we say, we do a lot of diligence. We do a lot of underwriting here. We're going to generally find out, as much as we can about this business. So the more you can share upfront, the less time it's going to take and the better decision we can come to.
Yeah, I love the phrase you used. I think it's very empowering. No judgment.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Everyone, including this business, has been through its challenging times. We went through COVID where businesses were shut down and we had to try to find a way to continue financing. So, no business has not been through its struggle. It's not our place to judge. If we can help and we can fund you, we want to. But it's the truth.
Yeah. And who would you see as your competitors? Is it the banks? Is it credit unions? Is it some of the other alternative lenders out there? Is it all of the above?
To a degree, it's all of the above. I would say the alternative lenders are our primary competition, but I would also say you're starting to see, from groups like, Shopify has launched Shopify Capital, Square's launched Square Capital. So a lot of the payment companies and commerce platforms are looking to add more and more services to their offering. So they want to have a really full, sticky ecosystem. So they are very much our competitors now, in addition to the alternative lenders.
Yeah, I know nothing about what Shopify is doing in this. Okay. Without promoting a competitor, can you just put them into perspective for us compared to what you do?
Sure. So take someone like Shopify as an example, as a well-known commerce platform. So you're using their platform for, inventory and for running their business. And they're all also offering you payment processing to credit cards. And now basically what they're saying is look, we see your history. We have a relationship with you. We're prepared to offer you X dollars. As a loan or a merchant cash advance. And that's sort of a new service that they've all begun to, over the last, 3 or 4 years, begun to offer. So we view them as, a competitor, no different than some of our alternative lenders, but just because they have a broader relationship with that customer, they're doing more than just lending. They're doing payments and and you know, software inventory management.
Yeah, how did I mean that sounds pretty interesting. How do you compete with that? I mean, the fact that they already have that relationship and that they've already x-rayed the patient.
Yeah, no, it is a challenge for us. I think the way we position it is they'll generally only work off your credit card sales. So they'll advance you money based on that. So whereas we look at, you know, over and above credit cards, we look at your total bank deposits and your revenue from all sources. So typically our line of credit product and our term loan, you know, are competitive to their product, which works primarily off of their credit card processing revenues.
Right. And as far as the services you provide that are OnDeck and whatever the rebrand company provides, how have your services changed over the past, you know, 5 years or so? Do you find, you know, are there new products, new services, new offerings? Is the marketplace changing?
Oh, the marketplace is changing quite a bit. I would tell you that when we first started out, we only had our Flex product, which was our merchant cash advance. In 2015, we launched our term loan. You know, it's now the vast majority of our business. The Flex product is a much smaller percentage of our sales. And then about a year and a half ago, we launched our line of credit product, and the demand for that has been tremendous. So the combination of those three products, I think, you know, in the last 5 years in particular, you've seen a shift more to term loans and line of credit and away from Flex. And I think that says a couple of things, particularly line of credit. Customers want to be able to draw money when they need it. They don't always have a reason for it. Some customers do. Some customers come in and they say, I need to buy tires. It's winter season. I need financing to purchase them. And I know exactly what they want. Some customers are like, I think I might need money in the future. I just want to know it's there, and line of credit works well. Some look to the two. They like to combine it. They want some for the future and some they need right now. So the market's definitely shifted and evolved over the last 5 years in that regard.
Right. And let's say that I'm a business owner and I bit off a little more than I could chew last year and invested a bit too much into the business and am not getting the returns I expected. What kind of arrangements can I make with you if I'm not able to service the debt that I piled up for myself?
Yeah, so we're often really willing to work with customers, so long as you're willing to work with us and disclose, you know, you had these challenges, maybe you over leveraged yourself. So we'll do payment holidays. We'll take, you know, certain periods of time off from debiting you. We might restructure it, you know, maybe take, you know, less for a period of time to get you back on your feet and then bring you back to your normal payment schedule, you know, in 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it may be. So we're definitely willing to work with you in terms of payment holidays, restructuring the loan. You know, we try to do where we can. And you know, again, we have, you know, credit facility and lender thresholds. We can't do that too often, but we definitely try to do it where we can.
Yeah, well, that sounds very civilized, and it sounds exactly like what small business owners need. How have you finding the chartered banks in Canada? They've dominated this space forever. They've frustrated entrepreneurs forever. How do you see them changing now, and how do you keep ahead of them?
I think the way we keep ahead of them is again our experience that you know, focus on small business customer, the online application, the automated decisioning, and some of these new products and features that we'll be rolling out in the future. I think if you continue to innovate and focus on that small business customers, you really separate yourself from the banks. The banks are really focused on larger transactions, less so in that those smaller transactions in industries they've never really traditionally loved to serve. So I think the combination of industry size, our customer experience, new products, new, you know, initiatives, I think that goes a long way to separating us from the banks.
In your answer there, which sounded very sound, I didn't hear anything about how the banks are getting smarter about serving small business customers and improving their service.
Look, I don't like to diss on our banks. I think the banks do a great job in a lot of areas. I think, you know, again, they view that small business customer as a retail customer in large part. And what we've come to realize is and experience is it's not. You know, making a decision on a small business loan based on your personal credit score might be easier, but it's not the right way to look at it. And I think we've carved out a niche where, you know, we're able to look at the totality of a business. We look at your cash flow analysis. We look at commercial credit. We look at your social media. We look at a whole host of other things. And I think we think it's frankly a better way to approach small business. We understand the industries a little bit. Every industry has a nuance to it. But I don't know that the banks necessarily have the time and you know or the inclination to want to do that with that the small business customers. Maybe they will in the future. And again, I love our banks. I don't want to diss our banks, but again, that hasn't really been their area of focus. And I don't see that changing.
Right. Okay. I mean, I really appreciate your analysis of the situation and that, you know, the banks have made great promises to small business over the years and we keep rooting for them to follow through. No question about it. We mentioned briefly early on the importance of surrounding yourself with the right team. Just wondering what makes your team, the original founding team and the people that you've added since, what makes them work together as a team?
It's a really good question. I think, again, the complementary nature, when I look at the team that we've brought on, everybody brings a specific skill, obviously very smart, but a skill and an expertise that others don't have. And when you put it together, almost like a team, right? I sort of feel like we as the executive leadership, we've put together this team and everyone kind of brings something to the table. When you look at it as a whole, if you have the right chemistry and the right culture and you keep nurturing it and cultivating it, you have a winning team and you're constantly looking and making sure that everybody has the resources for themselves to grow and develop. And we've got a great people and culture team that really works on people developing their managerial skills, their operational skills, that works on our team and our culture and making sure we maintain it, which has been really challenging in a post-COVID world where, you know, a vast majority of employees are working from home or remotely. So I think the combination of making sure we have the right people, the right chemistry, the right culture, and continuing to cultivate that is really what has made us and our team so strong.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And just before we wind up, I'm just wondering, you have data on 10,000 Canadian companies, and you know, we hear that, you know, it's been a tough few years for Canadian entrepreneurs with all the disruption from COVID, you know, that's in up and down the entire business supply chain, trouble getting talent, dealing with interest rates, so much turbulence out there. What does the data tell you? Well, what kind of shape are Canadian entrepreneurs in these days?
Yeah, it's challenging, no question, for small businesses out there for all the reasons you've mentioned. I would tell you that data shows there's still a lot of resilience among the small business customers. They're finding ways to fight through some of these challenges, be it raising prices, really working hard to find talent. So they're pretty resilient, but not all sectors are the same. So you do see some sectors that are performing well in a post-COVID world. Frankly, that maybe didn't perform so well in COVID. So travel, entertainment, restaurants, a lot of those industries, the experience industries tend to be really, you know, coming back, coming on strong. I think you see it in the airports and the you know, entertainment industry. There are other industries that are not performing as well. And again, you know, I don't want to single any of them out necessarily, but there's some industries that are not performing as well. So it's not a uniform, it is a bit choppy. There is quite a bit of debt in a post-COVID world as well. Customers who took on some debt to weather the storm that small business customers are working through. But again, maybe it's just the optimistic side of me. I feel like Canadian entrepreneurs are resilient. They work hard, they're solution-oriented, and they're going to find ways through it. But it is going to be choppy and it is challenging. There's no question.
Yeah. And can we expect to see any changes in the way your firm operates? Do you have some new plans, some new approaches to the market coming up that will go along with the rebranding that we'll be following?
Yeah, we've got a pretty robust product roadmap. I'm pretty excited about some of the things that we're looking at doing. I think it's all about really our mission of how do we put more working capital in the hands of small business customers in Canada and entrepreneurs. I think there's a lot of things that hopefully over the next few months we'll be able to announce and talk about that, put in the hands of small business customers the things that they are looking for. So, that's, I guess, more to come on that.
All right. So if you want to, as a listener, if you want to check out On Deck there, you can find them at www.ondeck.ca. Even after the name change, because a podcast is forever, they'll be using that name for a transitional period. So you'll still be able to find them and check them out and hold David to his commitments.
Exactly. It'll redirect for a while. So we'll be good.
Right. David, do you have any final words of advice or wisdom that you want to leave with our entrepreneurial listeners today?
No, honestly, Rick, I think we touched on a lot of the areas. I think
I wrung it all out of you already.
I think you got all out of me.
All right. Well, congratulations on the journey you guys have been on and the successes you had. And we look forward to following you in the future as the next challenge looms up and you surmount that along with all the others.
Thank you, Rick. Excited about the journey as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Startup Canada podcast. This show is produced by Lauren Hicks and Maddie Stiles. Be sure to tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Spence.